Blowing the shofar in Rosh Hashanah connotes many different layers of symbolisms, many reenactments, many past images. Perhaps the two most dominant images and past recollections are, of course, the Isle of Yitzchak, the ram, which was sacrificed instead of Yitzchak, and blowing that ram's horn, or horn which evokes the reminiscence of that ram, reminds us of that seminal moment on Har Moriah, Avraham Yitzchak. It also, of course, reminds us of the theme of the day, the Malchus and the coronation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech HaOlam. Blowing shofar during the month of Elul would seem to carry neither of these symbolisms, and would seem to be just a preparation. The Gemara talks about confusing the Satan, trying to jar the opponents to our religious experience. But there are two or three images associated with blowing the shofar specifically during Elul, specifically independent and autonomous of Rosh Hashanah, without describing the Malchus and without describing the reminiscence of the Akedah. Firstly, the Rambam, a very well-known Rambam, describes the shofar literally as a wake-up call. This is a Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Gimel. He writes, Af al pi shetekiah shofar b'Rosh Hashanah gezeres hakasef. He's speaking about tekiah shofar in Rosh Hashanah, but it's clear this isn't limited to Rosh Hashanah. This is more of a period experience and seasonal. It's not limited to the day itself. So even though blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah is gezeres hakasef, and the Torah doesn't provide any reasons, it's yeshbo. It conveys the following sense: Uru yishenim mishinaschem v'nirdamim hakitzu mitir demas. For the Rambam, the shofar, and again, the Rambam speaks about Rosh Hashanah, but it's clear this isn't limited to Rosh Hashanah, sees the shofar as a wake-up call. And the Rambam describes Elu ha-shochachim es ha-emes behevle hazman, people who are blurred or find the truth obscured in the pettiness and the futility of their day-to-day, v'shogim kol shenasam behevel v'rek, and they spend or they waste all their years in meaninglessness and futility. Habitu lenafshasechem, a little bit of introspection, vehitivu darchechem, v'yazov kol achad mikem dachu hara. So for the Rambam, the shofar is meant to shatter the stupor of life. Sleeping, hypnotized, stupefied, not thinking about religion, lost in the pettiness, the pursuits, the glitter, the attractions of our world. Essentially, it's meant to wake us up from religious indifference or the stupor that the events of our world could cause. It's meant to shock. It's meant to be jarring. It's meant to be a sound. It's meant to be as if someone claps to get your attention and break the monotony of listening to just one tune that blares on and doesn't allow you to hear or see something a little bit deeper. So for the Rambam, the shofar, again, the Rambam speaks about Rosh Hashanah, but it's easy to extend this beyond Rosh Hashanah to the period of Rosh Hashanah, which commences during Elul. It's literally meant as a loud alarm, not to wake us up from sleep, but to wake us up from a metaphoric sleep. We're just so enmeshed and immersed in the events and the affairs of this world that it's almost as if we're asleep and insensitive and inattentive to deeper religious meanings. There's a different medrash which describes the shofar not as a wake-up call, but as a liberating force. Of course, the shofar in Yovel serves this purpose. Tavu shofar b'chol artzachem u'krasim d'ror b'aretz l'chol yoshveha. The shofar is meant to be a sound of emancipation, of freedom. It serves this fashion because in ancient agrarian or agriculture-based societies, when people were working in the fields, and many times these fields were too large to actually convey information person to person or face to face, these loud sounding shofars were meant to convey important information, and in particular, the release from work and the end of work. So, for example, the iconic value of a shofar to signal the end of work is quite apparent, as the Gemara describes Erev Shabbos. There were various shofars blown in Yerushalayim to signal different moments of the approaching Shabbos. You can imagine, in the absence of electricity or communication or internet or alarm clocks and time and timekeeping, one shofar could be blown on top of a mountain and be heard at a fairly significant distance. Similarly, when people were working in the fields, not just to signal the end of Shabbos, but the end of the work day, or in some cases, the end of the work period, because people lived in fields for days or weeks at a time in these little huts as they tended to the field. So the shofar signaled the end of work, and in some cases, the end of the season. And Rosh Hashanah's positioning at the end of the agricultural cycle, essentially the entire cycle has concluded. The cycle begins more or less in Cheshvan. Cheshvan is the season of flowering and of planting. Nisan is the season of harvesting. Sukkos is the season of collecting. And then after Sukkos, the land lies fallow for a couple weeks. And then in Cheshvan, once again, the land is planted and seeded. So Rosh Hashanah was a time in which shofaros were blown for the farmers to exit their fields. And it's a time when people are not as committed to the labor and the work in the field, and liberated from that responsibility, they can turn their hearts and their minds and their imaginations inward to ponder values of religion, to ponder the solemnity of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the shofar, as it was on Yovel, the shofar was meant to be a liberating sound, to liberate people towards tshuva. Tshuva is an application of freedom of choice. We get to redefine who we are. We get to remind ourselves of unlimited freedom. When the Rambam describes Bechira Chafshis, his first halacha, Parakeh, he describes the axiomatic principle of Bechira Chafshis, the freedom of will, that human beings were created free, the only beings in this universe created free. And then Halacha Beis, he restates Bechira Chafshis, and he renunciates or disavows the mistake of those who fall prey to ideas of predeterminism and preordained future. And then the Rambam restates Bechira Chafshis, but in more emphatic terms. Everyone has the ability to be a tzaddik like Moshe or a rasha like Yeravam. So it's not just freedom of choice in a general sense, but unlimited freedom of choice to achieve the heights of a Moshe Rabbeinu or the depths and the failures of a Yeravam. So tshuva is a rebooting of human potential, reassessment of who we are, of our identity, and probably the boldest implementation of Bechira Chafshis in our human lives, in our cycles of experiences. And there's so much in this world that enslaves us. And this is a very different condition. This isn't the condition of being asleep or insensitive. It's just being tyrannized, limited, imprisoned, curtailed by so many forces that limit our freedom of choice and in some ways convince us that we're acting freely, but strip us of the outer horizons of that freedom and force us to sheepishly fit ourselves into certain mediocre containers of religious achievement rather than dreaming of real religious growth and real religious achievement. So inasmuch as tshuva is an attempt to reach beyond those prisons with invisible bars but very, very tightly wound prisons, tshuva is meant to liberate us from all those limitations and create that ability to snatch new identity and to once again exercise our freedom in an unlimited fashion. And this is obviously not something limited to Rosh Hashanah and certainly not to Yovel, but it occurs every year and is a season. Freedom is not something you can snap your fingers into and achieve. It takes a lot of thought, a lot of introspection, a lot of self-examination to try to identify the tyrants and the limitations in our lives that we hope to free ourselves from. So that's the second image of a shofar, in particular on Elul. Not the shofar to quickly wake us up from our stupor, not people who are just inattentive to religion because they're stuck in the affairs of the day-to-day and the dreariness of life, but people who are actually very attuned to religion but may not realize that their freedom may not be as unlimited as it should be. It's not the freedom of the Rambam. And everyone has to free themselves from their past and from their limitations in order to really reinvent themselves through the process of tshuva. I think the third Elul connotation of a shofar is probably the one most directly related to Elul. In Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, in Perek Mem Vav, the Medrash describes the timeline of that first year. And after Moshe had destroyed the Egel, Moshe ascends up the mountain for that final 40-day period, which concludes on Yom Kippur, the 10th of Tishrei, with the delivery of the second Luchos. If that third 40-day period concludes on Yom Kippur, then it commences on Rosh Chodesh Elul. So Rosh Chodesh Elul is the date that Moshe ascends the mountain for that final time, hoping to receive the second set of Luchos. The Medrash in Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar informs us that as Moshe ascended the mountain, he blew the shofar, and it sounds as if, it's not clear, different versions of the Medrash. There's a version of the Medrash quoted by the Tor in Tuf Kuf Pei Aleph, but it certainly sounds from certain versions of the Medrash that the shofar was blown either that day, or, depends which version you take, was blown the entire Elul. But even if it wasn't blown the entire Elul, it was blown that day, it had a very different connotation. It had nothing to do with the Malchus of Hashem or Rosh Hashanah, nothing to do with the Akedah. The Medrash says it was a sound so that people shouldn't once again be confused and worship Avodah Zarah in the same way that their initial confusion had led them astray and had provoked or advanced the Egel. The Medrash isn't clear why blowing a shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul when Moshe ascends that final time, or blowing the shofar every day he's up on the mountain, will prevent them from Avodah Zarah. How will they avoid similar mistakes, similar fears? Is it a sound that just assures them that Moshe will descend and therefore allay some of their fears? It sounds as if the shofar blowing is reminiscent of the original shofar blowing at Har Sinai, and it's meant to invoke Har Sinai in a specific sense. Har Sinai should act as a wedge against idolatry to remind us that at Har Sinai we saw nothing. There was nothing, no physical apparitions or physical images associated with Hashem. As is stressed so often in Parshas Veschanan, Kol Devarim Atem Shomim U'Tmuna Inchem Roim Zilasi Kol Ki Lo Ra'isim Kol Tmuna. So it reminds them that Hashem can't be captured in anything physical. But it could also give them the confidence of Har Sinai, that as much as they had failed HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the Egel, sometimes a failure in religion begets another failure, and our guilt is a very, very fertile groundwork or fertile ground for future betrayal and future religious failures. And reminding the people every day, or at least when Moshe ascends the mountain for that final time with Har Sinai, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't forget Har Sinai, and even though we failed him, and even though we were punished, we're still his people, and those expectations are still in place, and his love is still potent, and it's a beautiful medrash on the pasuk in Yeshaya. Vatomer Tzion, Azavani Hashem, Vashem Shechani, that Am Yisrael, personified by Tzion, is worried that Hashem has forsaken her, and Hashem forgot her. And Hashem responds, Hatishkach Isha Ula Merachem Ben Bidna, will a woman forget her child? Gam Eila Tishkachna. If just like a woman won't forget her child, I won't forget you. V'anochi lo ashkachech. The Gemara in Brachos fills in the blanks for this very seemingly long-winded conversation. Amar lefanav Rabbonu shel Olam. Ho ve'in shechacha lefnei kiseich vodecha. If you don't forget anything, maybe you won't forget the Egel. So Hashem says, Gam Eila Tishkachna. I will forget the Egel. In which case, the Jewish people are worried. Well, if you're going to forget the Egel, maybe you'll forget Har Sinai. So Hashem responds, V'anochi lo ashkachech. I'll forget selectively. I'll forget the Egel, but I won't forget experiences at Har Sinai. And part of the barrier against another failure of Avodah Zarah is just the memory and the nostalgia and the recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu still experiences the love at Har Sinai, and he wants our return as much as we want it. And there's so much of confidence that's necessary, because heartfelt tshuva really is a descent into the darkest places of human identity and of the human soul. And that descent is paved with despair, frustration, and guilt. And without those emotions, tshuva is very clinical. And tshuva can be very formulaic. But that descent that can cause so much despair can also cause forfeiture and hopelessness. And the reminder that we experience such intimacy at Har Sinai, and that the terms of that relationship are still very much intact. Of course, in the Medrash and in Moshe's case, ascending the mountain for the third time in historical and collective sense, but it's also something to remind ourselves on a personal level of our past relationship with Hashem, though it may have been in some ways contaminated or corrupted by our infidelities and failures, it certainly wasn't completely squandered or forfeited. So we blow the shofar to remember Har Sinai. These are three very different reasons for blowing the shofar during Elul. Again, our typical way of viewing the shofar is that it is thematically linked to Rosh Hashanah. It's a Malchus instigator. It is a nostalgic return to Har HaMoriah on the Akedah. And we just practice it a month before, possibly to engage the Satan in a game of cat and mouse. But there are three reasons for blowing the shofar that are uniquely Chodesh Elul, independent of a specific focus in Rosh Hashanah. One is the wake-up effect, which the Rambam describes in Hilchos Tshuva. Two is the liberation that the shofar sounds. It's actually a medrash in Psikta deRav Kahana to free people so that tshuva can be limitless. And then finally, historically, the shofar was blown on Rosh Chodesh Elul as Moshe ascended the mountain, so they shouldn't fail again. Part of that could be reenacting Har Sinai, the sounds of the shofar at Har Sinai, and reinforcing us with the confidence that although our relationship was fractured, it wasn't forfeited.